Well, good evening, everybody. It's once again a great privilege for me to share with you the Word of God. Now, after services this morning, I met with some of you, and you told me your stories and some very interesting stories. And I love stories, Pastor. I believe that each one of us, we have a story to tell, and somebody needs to hear that story because God can use that story to change a person's life. Amen. And so whatever God is doing in our lives is never unintentional. He always does it with a reason or for a purpose. And I just love hearing stories. So can I tell you a little story? Is that okay? All right. So I told you that I grew up in Cape Town and found the Lord and served the Lord in the Matrosmenae Church of the Nazarene. And this church was established in 1965. And you know how the church came about? Alabaster. Alabaster. So I'm here to just thank you for all your contributions over the years and the decades to make sure that buildings are all around the world are being erected for God's purpose and glory. So Matrosmenae Church of the Nazarene is Alabaster Church. And God has obviously used a lot of people, a lot of pastors and evangelists. We spoke about Stephen Manley. Stephen Manley came to that church very often, and I believe he was here at your church as well. I know him very well, and I was part of the Cross-Style Ministries, so a phenomenal man of God. So Matrosmenae Church of the Nazarene was built in 1965. And, a lot of things happened in that church. I remember nights like these, right, where people would just come and pray, Pastor. They would just pray this thunderous prayers. It was everybody prayed aloud, and it was the sound of thunder, but it was the most beautiful sound. And you could sense the Spirit of God in our midst. It was at these services where a lot of people came. You know, we would go door knocking in the afternoon. No Nazarene nap for us, okay? We would go door knocking and invite people to come in, you know? And it was just phenomenal inviting those people and to see that those people came to the altar and received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So Matrosmenae Church of the Nazarene, the Alabaster Church, gave birth or produced 18 pastors. And it's just phenomenal that you know, you were part of that. And God raised up a generation of pastors that received the call, accepted the call, and preached the gospel unreservedly with boldness and without excuses. And God is still using those men and women today, right? And I was 10 years old when I first gave my the very first Sunday school lesson, right? And my teacher asked me at the age of 10 years, "Are you willing to present a Sunday school lesson?" I believe that was when God really impressed upon my heart that someday I will preach His word, and I willingly said yes. Okay, and guess what? That lesson lasted for about 5 minutes and 36 seconds, all right, because that's all I knew, right, but that was the start. You know, Brother Robbie Gordon, he was my Sunday school teacher, and he entrusted me with that lesson, and I just thank God for men like him who saw the potential, even though the lesson was 5 minutes and 36 seconds, you know, I did that, and that was also the church in which I became, at the time, I think it was NYPS, Nazarene Young People Society. So you remember that, right? I also remember books like The Other Sheep and The Herald of Holiness. That was the other books that, you know, came from here, reaching our shores, and just made a great impact on our lives. And then obviously we had great revival services and tent meetings and family camps, you know. And that is where God shaped me. He really shaped my life in becoming what I am today. I'm here by grace, and I don't take that for granted at all. And so Matrosfontein Church of the Nazarene gave birth to another church. And so my pastor at the time, Pastor Robert Collib, he called me one day into his office and he says, well, how would you like to pioneer the new work that we are starting in North Pine? And I became very excited and I said, Pastor, can you give me a week to pray about it? And that's what I did. And the Sunday came and I said, Pastor, I'm ready for this. And so we gave birth to the North Pine Church of the Nazarene. And, you know, we started off with one family, one sister and two other children in her lounge at a house. That's where we started the church, North Pine Church of the Nazarene. We outgrew the house and all of a sudden we became 20 and we had to move to a bigger facility. And we rented a classroom, a school classroom, right? And that is where we would have our services for the next couple of years. We outgrew the classroom, and then we moved into a community center. And our church, from about 20 people, grew to 70, you know, and it was just a phenomenal journey. I'm telling you this because God is a God of intention, and He wants to use us, right? It doesn't make sense at first when He calls us. We cannot see the bigger picture. But He knows the results, and he knows the outcome of what His plan is for our lives. All that He requires is obedience, right? The Bible says that obedience is better than our sacrifices. And so that's one of my stories, and I just wanted to thank you tonight. I believe and I know this church to be a missional church. You know, I know that you go on missions trips. I know that you are planting seeds of righteousness and truth wherever you go. And so it's good to know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Whatever we do, God has a way of multiplying that, and He brings other people alongside of that work, and He makes sure whatever we have planted, the seed of obedience will grow into a harvest of righteousness. Amen. Right. So I want to share with you this evening, about the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. And obviously the most common scripture that we use is the book of Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, right? That was the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. And we are going to commence reading as from verse 1 to 13. Now, in Acts chapter 1, speaks about how Jesus appears to the disciples because He told them that you need to wait for Me in Jerusalem, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus meets them, and this is where they are going to receive the Holy Spirit. We know about the upper room experience, how 120 disciples came together in one place, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and that is where it all started. I believe that preaching this message of Pentecost is not for Pentecost Sunday only, but we should desire Pentecost every time we meet as the body of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is available 365 days a week and not just one day on our calendar, right? He's available and He wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit so that we can be equipped for the greater work that He has for us. And so they prayed, the Bible says, that they came together in chapter 2, let's all read together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, can you imagine just meeting like this in the church today? or this evening, and we praise God and we pray and we pray, and suddenly tongues of fire comes upon each one of us. I think some of us will be very scary, like, what is going on? What's going on, Lord? What's going on? But this is what happened, you know. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" And then it gives a list of all kinds of people that were there, Medes and those from Asia and Cyrene and Libya, all over Rome, and from Cretans and the Arabs. They all were together, the Bible says. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine to drink. They just pray, "Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come into your holy presence and allow us once again to listen to your word. Your word is powerful. Your word changes lives. Your word allow us to be instructed and to be disciplined. And you discipline us, Lord, so that we could be partakers of the holiness of God. I just pray that this word will reach our hearts and our minds today and give us the ability to just receive it and make it our own. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrate our hearts and our lives so that we can be effective witnesses for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Pentecost. This was an exciting time for the church because this was the birth of the Christian church. Now, what does Pentecost mean? I went and I did some research and I saw a lot of very beautiful quotes about Pentecost, but I like this one because it's very personal. Pentecost is not so much for a church, but it's for the individual in the church. It's for people like you and me who seek the face of God and desires to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And I wrote this quote, and it says, "Pentecost is the moment when the heart of stone is shattered and the heart of flesh takes its place." In other words, that which was insensitive becomes sensitive. Something that God can work with, something that God can mold and shape and make according to His will for our lives. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about Pentecost. In the Old Testament, one of the promises in the Old Testament, in Job 2, verse 28, it says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people." That was the promise of Pentecost, right? And the one in the New Testament where Jesus says that he will send another counselor, the Spirit of Truth, in John chapter 16. So the fulfillment of Pentecost came in via two of the promises in the book of Joel and then also in the book of John. It marks the beginning of Christianity as a purposeful movement and a new community. And so when Peter got up and preached his sermon, the Bible says, immediately after he preached, and you can read this account in verse 14 onward, he addresses the crowd and he preaches this powerful revival message. And the Bible says, that afterwards around 3,000 people believed and were baptized. Now, I don't know about you, but I still believe in the God of the 3,000s. I believe that God can add to our church, the body of Christ, every day, every week, whenever we come together, but He desires faithfulness of us. So imagine 3,000 people believed and were baptized. Now that was a significant day in the life of the church. All of a sudden, the officials and the leaders, they saw what happened. This great revival is taking place. And Peter, who was in charge of this crowd, he preaches powerful message under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Remember, they now received the Holy Spirit, and suddenly all kinds of things are happening. That is what happens when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit and we allow His Holy Spirit to indwell us and work in us and through us. Amazing things will happen. Now, we remember this morning we spoke about if we consecrate ourselves, the Lord will do amazing things in our midst. This is exactly what happened at the day of Pentecost. Something significant happened. Now, I'm sure you know what happened on July 4th, 1776. Can anybody? Of course we know, right? The members of the Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia signed the Declarations of Independence. Now, on that very same day, George III, the King of England, he made this entry in his diary, his journal. On that very same day, July 4th, 1776. And this is what he said: nothing of any importance happened today. That's what he said. He didn't have a clue what was going on. And this is what he wrote: nothing of importance happened today. Well, we know what happened, right? America became the greatest country in the world. Something significant happened. And I want to relate the story to the story in Acts chapter 1 and 2, when the Holy Spirit came down on 120 disciples meeting in the upper room. And maybe there were some of the officials that said, you know what? They went home and they said, nothing of importance happened today. Nothing of importance happened today. But that was the start of a great revolution and a revival worldwide. And guess what? 2,000 years later, the church still stands. Something of significance, something of importance happened that day. Now, I spoke to you about Jerome at the age of 10 years old when he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And maybe his family thought, you know what, nothing of importance happened today. But Jerome was filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 10 years old. And between the age of 10 and 12, God's Holy Spirit indwelled his life. And this little boy, like I explained to you, went around knocking off on people's doors, and something significant happened. People's lives were changed. They received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they came to church and they testified about the experience about a little boy named Jerome who came their way and told them about Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you feel insignificant today and you think that, you know what, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and, you know, that was just another day in history, another day in my life. And nothing of importance happened that day. But I want you to imagine with me tonight what could happen if God's Holy Spirit works through us, each one of us. There will be a mighty revival. And, you know, I'm all with my district superintendent. Whenever we meet, he would make the statement, Lord, we are ready for a 21st century outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Guess what? That is what the church need. That is what America need. And brother, the brother that prayed here earlier on, that is what the country need at this point in time. We need an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, because the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit will produce godly leaders that will lead us in the right direction. And so Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, him and the 120 disciples came together, and something significant happened on that day. So something important happened. Why is it that we only remember Pentecost when it is Pentecost Sunday? It's not like any other holiday or any other festival that we celebrate on the Christian calendar. Christmas, everybody knows about Christmas, right? December 25th, everybody knows about Christmas because it's commercialized, and everybody knows when it's Christmas time. You hear the jingles, and we sing Christmas carols, and there's special food that goes with that. We know that it is Christmas. Why is it then, when it comes to the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, that it almost goes unnoticed? Have you ever thought about it? It's just another event on the calendar. I'll tell you why. Maybe it's Satan trying to rob us from the most powerful experience that we could ever experience. The greatest miracle that can take place is not so much raising the dead person to life or making the blind to see again, but I believe that the greatest miracle that can happen is when a sinner comes to God and he confesses his sin and he says, Lord, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And you receive the forgiveness of God and his life changes for good. There's a gentleman at our church, Anthony. He came to us a year ago. Anthony was addicted to drugs for 21 years. 21 years. He's about 40 years old. For 21 years, Anthony was addicted to drugs. And so one day, his father dragged him to church. His father said, today you are going with me to church. Because Anthony had, this is his second marriage, and you know what? Things did not go well for Anthony because his life was in disarray. It was confusion and chaos, and things just didn't work out for Anthony. Anthony came that Sunday and he sat in the pews, and we preached a sermon. Like tonight, we preached a sermon. And before we preached the sermon, I asked for some testimonies. And now we don't do this every Sunday. We don't ask for testimonies every Sunday. But that is what I did that Sunday. God's Holy Spirit just prompted me to do that. And we had 5 people testifying about the goodness of God and the grace of God, and how either a son or a spouse was saved from addiction. Now, can you imagine Anthony sitting here, first time in church, and he hears his testimony? It seems like a setup, isn't it? You know what? Pastor, you knew that I was coming, and you have appointed certain people to speak. But that was not the case. The sermon was preached, and Anthony came forward. And Anthony received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Something of significance happened that day. Something very important happened to Anthony that day. About a month ago, we celebrated Anthony being clean and sober for 1 year. And we had a great party. Can you imagine how God can transform a life of an addict into somebody that desires to be changed? On my way yesterday, traveling here, Anthony called me and he says, Pastor, I feel that I'm stuck. I'm just stuck somewhere. I want more, Pastor. I want more. I want to break through to the next level. This is desire to grow in the Lord. Now, remember, a year ago, he was this addict. He was addicted, and there was almost no hope for this man. And now he calls me and says, Pastor, I need more. I need the next level. What is the next step? And I said, Anthony, I'm prepared to meet with you once a week for an accountability session, and we will work through this. A year ago, something significant happened to Anthony, and now he's serving the Lord, his family. You know what happened? A family of 12 people joined the church because of that experience. About a month ago, we had a baptism service, and Anthony's whole family were baptized, coming from a Catholic background, and they were baptized. It was just a great display of God's power and what God's Holy Spirit can do for us. And so here, in the book of Acts, it speaks about what happens when God's Holy Spirit, what happened when God's Holy Spirit came upon those 120 people in the upper room. What did they experience? Firstly, we see that they experienced the explosive power of God's Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, there was growth and people were flocking to their meetings, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and there was explosive growth from being 120 plus another 3,000, and we know what happened after that. Today, we are here celebrating that event because of God's Holy Spirit. The explosive power of God's Holy Spirit. I believe that if we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, the explosive power of God in us will allow us to do such great things that people will be amazed, and they will come to us and say, what is happening in your life? What is happening in your church? Like the people ask the question right here, what does this mean? What does this mean? And now we have the opportunity to tell them that it's God's Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh, each one of us. They experience the explosive power of God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This power that God gives us through His Holy Spirit is for a purpose. What is that purpose? It is not power to be crazy or power to do weird things. No, it's nothing like that. It is the power to be a witness filled with God's Holy Spirit. And when you testify, it's no longer that you are speaking, but God gives His Holy Spirit, and His Spirit gives utterance to us as to what we need to speak. And all of a sudden, our testimony that once seemed so insignificant becomes significant. Our story that was somehow distorted and there was no need for others to hear our story, all of a sudden God's Holy Spirit uses that story and that incident of conversion, and He says, you will become an explosive witness, touching people, others' lives, and people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are here today because somebody reached out to you, whether it be via a sermon, somebody knocking at your door, making a phone call, and say, you know what, there's a better hope for you. Can you imagine if God's church experienced that same explosive power, how the church will grow, not just in number, but how we will grow spiritually? At the day of Pentecost, not only did they experience the explosive power of God's Holy Spirit, but they also experienced the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? I think it's just a great opportunity for us as a church in this time of confusion and chaos and what's going on in the world today. People are asking the same question, what shall we do? Isn't this a great opportunity to introduce them to God? Isn't this a great opportunity to introduce to them the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins, and He's the one that can set us free. He becomes the anchor for our life, that hope that we spoke about this morning. What shall we do? What shall we do? The transforming power of God's Holy Spirit. And throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, we see our accounts when people received the Holy Spirit, their whole life was transformed, like Anthony. Like Jesus, when he was baptized, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him. And what happened after he received the Spirit of God? He now goes out and he ministers. He first prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness where he was tempted. But he was filled with God's Holy Spirit. And he comes back and he equips his disciples and he says, go and make disciples. And the same Jesus who received the Holy Spirit became the dispenser of the Holy Spirit. And he dispensed it on his disciples. Tonight, he wants to dispense that same Holy Spirit upon our lives so that we can be the transforming agent for Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have his Spirit in us. They experience God's transforming power. Jesus was equipped for public ministry. The apostles were transformed from their self-strength by the Spirit's power. And remember, it was Peter, the same Peter, just a couple of days ago, who denied Jesus Christ. It was the same Peter who Jesus asked, Peter, do you really love me? It was the same Peter that could not spend time with Jesus. When Jesus needed a friend, this man was not there for him. But Jesus gave him a second chance. The same Peter that disowned and denied Jesus became the transforming agent for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have an excuse this evening in saying, you know what, Pastor, you don't know my past. I have disappointed God in so many ways. Do you think that God can still use me? I believe He can. I believe He can. Each one of us. Because it is a biblical truth that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we could ever ask of Him. So, the transforming person. What do we do when we have received this transforming power? All of a sudden, we don't rely on our own resources. Believe me, that will come and it will go. The Holy Spirit is not seasonal, amen? He's not just here on Pentecost Sunday, but He's here with us every single day, and He walks alongside of us, and He takes us places, and He takes us to people that need to hear the good news. I will never forget, I worked for Coca-Cola for 27 years, and being in HR, and one day at work while I was at my desk, it was just on lunchtime, when God just prompted me to go. God's Holy Spirit just prompted me to go to this particular house. I did not know why I needed to go to this house, but I needed to go. It was just a strong impression upon my life. You need to go there. And so I went, all right? And so I knocked on the front door, and nobody opened. I knocked again 3 times. Nobody opened. And I said, Lord, now I question you. Was this real? Did you really tell me to get to this place? And so just before I wanted to leave, God tells me that I need to go around and knock on the back door. And that is what I did. So I knocked on the back door. Nothing happened. After a minute, keep on knocking. I was just persistent because this is the place that God sent me to be. And this is where I need to be at this point in time. So I knocked. And as I knocked, a lady came crawling out of the one bedroom, weak, could not stand on 2 feet, only to realize that this person OD'd, took an overdose of tablets, and almost died. And so I'm saying, Charmaine, come on, you can open, just open the door, let me help you, let me just help you. Can you please open the door, let me just help you. And she struggled, and she came to the back door, and eventually I could help her. I don't boast about the story because I did what I needed to do. I boast about the story because it's God's Holy Spirit in work in us. And He will take us places. And we will do extraordinary things. And we are able to transform people's lives. And Charmaine became part of the church. And she served the Lord. And she died a Christian. Praise God. And God works everything for His good. No matter how difficult. No matter how bad the situation may be. He has a way of transforming people's lives. And His Holy Spirit wants to be our transformer. Will you do as Jesus and the apostles and all the others in scriptures when they yielded to the work of God's Holy Spirit to heal and to empower and to be made whole? God can use us, church. They experience the transforming power of God, but they also experience the sanctifying power of God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 40 says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins." Remember, he's busy with this great sermon. And they asked him, "What shall we do?" And his response was, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And then it says, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Listen to this. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. I'm so glad that God's Holy Spirit is available for the prodigals. And you may have a prodigal in your family, delinquents, children, grandchildren that are far away from the Lord. And it's a grave concern. But I take comfort in this scripture that says it's for you and your children and those who are far off. And God is able not only to save them but to sanctify their lives so that they can live in accordance with the Holy Spirit, with their minds set on the things that are of eternal value. So let's not give up, church. Let's not give up on our prodigals and our sons and our daughters that are going through tough times. God's word tells me today that His sanctifying power is for each one of us. I also believe that at the day of Pentecost, they experienced the saving power of God's Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 41, it says, Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. God is able to save anyone. He is no respecter of person, and no matter what you have done, no matter what your past looked like, His saving power is available for you and me and Anthony and Jerome and whoever else, even our prodigals. His Spirit will convict us. His Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. That happened to me and you when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God, God's Holy Spirit, convicted us of our sins, and we came to a point in our lives where we said, Lord, I need a change. Not only does the Spirit convict us, but His Holy Spirit regenerates us. In other words, what was dead now becomes alive. And maybe you are experiencing a drought in your life. And maybe you say, it's time for God's living water to flow through my life. I need to be regenerated, revived. I've lost my fervor and my zeal and my love for God. And I just want to come back to that place where I have this excitement that I've received new life in Christ. And God's Holy Spirit is able to do that, to regenerate us and brings new life to us. But His Holy Spirit also sanctifies us, which means, as we have heard this morning, to be set apart as holy and belonging exclusively to God. And when these disciples came together, they were sold out for God, and the Bible said that 3,000 others were added to that, to their number that day. That is what God can do through His Holy Spirit. Pentecost is not just a one-day event on our calendar, but I believe that Pentecost is an everyday experience encountering God's Holy Spirit and His might and power that He gives us to be strong witnesses for Him. And then in conclusion, they also experience the miraculous power of God. In chapter 3 of Acts, verse 1 to 10, it's an account of how Peter healed the crippled beggar. Right? And the Bible says that this man, he just needed help that day. He sat at the temple at the gate called Beautiful, and he begged from those going into the temple. And then Peter came along, and it's Peter and John, and says to him, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk again. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The miraculous power. After the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, they experienced the miraculous power of God. We saw a lot of miracles taking place in our church at Media. Addicts being set free from drug addiction. A lady in our church who was barren, could not bear children. My wife and I prayed for them, for her especially. And they tried all kinds of procedures and cost a lot of money. And this one day she came to the altar and she asked to be anointed. My wife and I prayed over her. Today they have two children, Pastor, a boy and a girl, healthy, happy. But that's what God can do. You know why? Because God's Spirit is active in our church, is active in our lives. And guess what? When we are called to pray with somebody or lead somebody to Christ, we don't have to call the pastor. We are able to do it by ourselves and by God's Holy Spirit. And we can pray for that person knowing that the same Spirit that is in the life of our pastors, the same Spirit is actively involved in my life, and I am able to do what Jesus did. And so are you ready for this Pentecost? experience the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon your life. I believe that that's the greatest thing that a church could wish for. The work of God cannot be accomplished without the fullness of God's Spirit. And everywhere God waits to give us His Holy Spirit, if we are just eager to ask, every opportunity that we have, God is waiting on us to desire His Holy Spirit to become part of our lives. And so, God waits to fill ordinary people with extraordinary power. And He wants to use you where He has placed you, whether it be at work, in your family, in this church, in this community. Who knows what God can do to us? Are you ready to receive that Holy Spirit that God has, that Jesus has promised to His disciple? He says, I want to pour out that same Spirit upon you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Amen. We're reminded, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by God's Holy Spirit. Today we sit here, Lord, and we're in the presence of Your Holy Spirit, wanting to penetrate our hearts, fill us, change us. We desire that Spirit to indwell us, Lord, so that we can be consecrated for God's purpose, God's use. And Lord, who knows what will happen if we allow God's Holy Spirit to indwell us. Lord, we are excited about the fact that in the last days, You will pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh. And Father, we desire that moment. We desire that day. So this is our cry. Come, Holy Spirit, we need Thee. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in Your strength and Your power. Come in Your own gentle way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.